This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
Thank you. Do we have any questions or comments to any of our presenters or to each other from the floor? Anybody? All questions answered?
Thanks, Neil. Your comments have triggered some of the complex discussions I've been having with the daughters of Donald Thompson and their difficulty in letting go of their, I guess, the way in which they see their father on a pedestal for supposedly having brought together one of the great Aboriginal collections that sits in the museum. That said, the relationship that he had with different communities in different country over a period of about 40 years had its moments that arguably appear to not have been as pure as the daughters would like to think. But the daughters are very fixed on the idea that they still own the collection and that it's on loan, especially the images, and that the collection that the University of Melbourne is now controlling and holding at the Museums Victoria, they also seem to think that they have the final say in anything that happens with that. So we haven't got to that point of cleansing them yet, and I hope that somewhere along the lines, and this is a conversation apparently has been going for 10 years now, that they might yet let go of that position of ownership and understand that their father had a relationship with every person that he collected from or took a photograph of, and the 5,800 images he has of all those old people up from Yolngu and around Arnhem Land and around Cape York and also Pintabee, they demonstrate a trust in the photographer and a relationship. And I was attempting to try and influence the daughters to acknowledge that trust and to reciprocate it by making those images available to go back home, and so that their grandchildren can identify them before it's too late. So, work in progress, trying to get this conciliation and the dignity of the collectors themselves restored, but ongoing work.
Anyone else? Oh, that'd be right. Couldn't sit closer to it, could you?
I just wanted to sort of follow on from what you said, Neil, about the family of collectors and sort of restoring their dignity. I've had a couple of examples. One was in 2012 when we returned an ancestor from the Montreal Fine Arts Museum, and the granddaughter of the man who donated this ancestor to the museum came, and she was really upset and wanted to be part of the process and say sorry, and that's, she kept saying that quite often, I'm really sorry. And we, and I said to her, it's okay, it's not your fault. You know, you didn't do it. But thank you for wanting to be involved and sort of righting the wrong. So she was really, and I've been in touch with her since. So we have an ongoing relationship, and she's got a man who she has hired to try and find out where this ancestor is from, because it's a Toimoko, so we don't really have much information about Toimoko in general, because they were collected at a time where they were a curiosity rather than a scientific specimen. But, you know, as part of her reconciliation with this whole process, she wants to try and find out where this ancestor is from so that we can take him back to his people. And I think that's, you know, and for her it was a really emotional experience. And, you know, she was sincerely sorry about that. So, you know, I found that it is quite a healing process if we can have, you know, families of these collectors involved in this process. And the other sort of example that I had was recently we repatriated from the Übersee Museum in Bremen, and one of the main collectors there was a man called Henry Suter, and he collected quite a number of remains throughout New Zealand, and they've ended up in museums all around the world. But his granddaughter also was part of that reconciliation. So when those ancestors came back to New Zealand and we had a ceremony for them back at Te Papa on our marae, she was one of the people that actually carried those ancestors back onto the marae and back to their people. And again, for her, that was extremely emotional. And you know, she did a public apology, saying sorry about, you know, the things that her grandfather had done. And the good thing also about her is that, you know, in terms of the research side of things, she has all his journals, which are all written in German, but she's had a lot of it translated, particularly around him collecting human remains. And so, though I have to tread carefully with her, she is quite open to sharing that information, and part of that has helped us to identify where those ancestors were from specifically so that they can go home, and we hope they'll go home this year. But, you know, without her, you know, willingness to help and cooperation, you know, those ancestors would have remained unprovenanced and remained in the museum. But, you know, granted, she only gave me a page of the diary, which, you know, but that's where the information was, and that's great. But I know that in the future I'm going to have to go back to her again and ask her to have a look, you know, for specific dates. But you know, part of her restoring, I guess, her dignity and that of the actions that her grandfather did, you know, she's quite willing and open to help, so... Some good stories.
So I think the sort of summary is that the dignity can be a two-way process. It can be for the benefit of everyone. Ah, yes, thank you.
Yeah, over the past, I suppose, 12 months, 2 years, there's been a few people contacting me about remains that they've got in their homes, and they want to know what to do with them. And I've spoken to a number of people about it, and they said, well, the only thing you can do is call the police and get the police to get involved. Because the main reason, because there's been, I don't know whether you see the news in around Adelaide all the time, there's a lot of murders go on over there. And sometimes some people say, well, they may be trying to pass them off as Aboriginal remains, but it's someone they murdered. There was a... Two young girls accepted a ride with a man that was going to take them from Adelaide to Melbourne along the Coorong, and they have a camp and a weekend in the bush. He finished up taking them out there, and he nearly got away with it. He nearly killed them. He bashed one with a hammer. And I was down there at the Coorong when this happened. We was at Salt Creek, and I see all the helicopters coming in, and I'm doing a bit of work down there. But all of that about the remains, what he was doing with the girls, he was taking everything off of them, the jewelry, everything, earrings, studs, whatever they had on them, taking their clothes, and then... And I don't think this would be the first time he'd done this, because he had it too well planned. So in our community, we've been warned not to put, if we see a fresh, where the wind blows the sand off of a burial site, not to just leave it there. And ask to get the police to come in. They'll go there and they'll bring someone from forensic scientist in there and have a look and make sure that they're Aboriginal remains, not someone who's been put there amongst a burial site in our area. That's one of the things I want to talk about, and the other one is remains, grave goods that's been taken from the grave, that's been in some people's homes now. People have been contacting me about, they've got stone axes in their homes, have been taking them from the burial sites. One woman, she said, oh, she was in her 70s, and she called me. So I went down and had a look at the axes, and I said, well, where did you get these from? She said, I'm not sure. She said, but just hold on, I'll call my father. And I looked at her, oh, yeah. Her father was still alive. He was the one that took them. So he was in his 90s. And they come from up around Innisfail. So all of these things, too, are a part of getting community back on track. All the different grinding stones, all the different grave goods and things that was a part of someone's life that was put in the grave with them. They were taken. They're all sitting over in museums. They're sitting in people's homes. The other thing is about with the children. We have to live in two worlds. We have to live in our world, but we also have to live in this world too. There's about 30 young people that I've got in the dance group, from high school students to kindergarten kids, plus their parents. So it's building that strength up in them through culture. I talk about repatriation. I talk about the work that I do. A lot of the young people are very interested because they want to see the remains back when we have a burial, reburial. They're there. They come with me. They learn about what I'm doing. They're very interested when I told them I was coming across here, some of the high school kids. And they would have loved to have come here and sat down and listened to people talk. Because that's their interest. They want to know about what happened to our people that were taken away, the burial sites dug up. So all the stuff that listen to today is very interesting. And we can learn from each other. We can learn from people from all around the world. That's all the Indigenous people. Thank you.
And I think that's a perfect note on which to close today's proceedings. Would you join me in thanking our presenters today and the organisers and our translators and our multimedia ninja up in the back room for helping everything go so well. So again, thank you all and congratulations to you all. Thank you. Anybody wants to continue the conversation, we have some tables booked up at University House in the bar from 5 o'clock onwards. So we'll see you all there. You all there. You all there. You all there.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.